Welcome to the College Audition Podcast with your host, nationally renowned college audition coach, Tim Evanicki.
Hey, everybody. Tim Evanicki here, back with another episode of the College Audition Podcast. Today, my very special guest is Ms. Siva Barzal, head of musical theater at Point Park University. Thanks so much for joining us, Siva.
Thanks so much for having me, Tim.
So, as always, we like to get to know the person before the program, so I want to learn everything there is to know about you.
Okay.
If you could, walk us through a little bit about your background, your training and career that sort of led you to your position at Point Park.
Sure. So I have a BFA from Ithaca College in acting and directing, and I have an MFA from University of Illinois in acting, but they were done very far apart. I had a whole career in between. I think I was enjoying my career. I just felt that it was time for more training. I felt like a lot of times the question I would ask is, well, what's the contract like, instead of just wanting to tell stories and make art. And so that's why I went back to school. So my training is very spread out. I also trained for a semester in London, obviously took classes while I was living in New York City. Most of my career, especially the early part of my career, was musicals. I think once I started getting hired for musicals, that's sort of where I landed for a long time. And I'm a member of Equity and SAG-AFTRA. One of my first professional jobs was in my teens as a choreographer, which I really didn't come back to till much later, you know, but I've been a professional actor for many decades now. And I worked off Broadway. I did regional theater, summer stock. I did a little bit of daytime television, national voiceovers. I mean, I think pretty, you know, I was a working actor. And when I finished, when I was in grad school, so like I said, I went back late. I already had a family. I was part of the grad school experience was teaching in the BFA program. I got to teach a couple classes. And I found that it was something that I really I thought I had something to offer. But it still wasn't my plan. I was going to finish. And the only big change was that we were going to maybe relocate from New York City to Chicago. But the career was going to, you know, keep going. And some people that I had coached recommended me for a job at a university. And I went in and interviewed. And I thought, I really think this is a great way that I can give back. Like, I think this is something I really love. So it was kind of an odd way of going into it. It wasn't planned. It just sort of happened. And I started teaching at a college. And I spent the first 2 years at a school in their program. And at that point, I knew that wasn't really the right fit, but it gave me time to really look around. I fell in love with Pittsburgh when I came here to interview for a job. And I was still able to keep working. And so, I don't know, that's kind of a long thing, but I've been, now I'm an old broad. I've been around for a long time, so there's more to tell. But anyway, that's kind of how I got into academia. And
I actually didn't know that you were a choreographer as well. So I direct and choreograph.
Yeah. And sometimes, like, if we have guest directors, sometimes I'll just choreograph or associate direct. I started more as a choreographer than a director.
I did not know. So when students are at Point Park, you work as a director and choreographer, but what actual classes are you teaching there? That when will the kids see you?
So mostly, I used to teach a little bit in the acting program and then the rest of the musical theater program. But once I became head of the program, I really thought that where I might be have the most to offer was in staying in musical theater. So we have a progression of acting classes called Acting Through Song. And that is the classes that I teach. So it's in the sophomore year, we really start learning sort of technique, how to break down the song, how to apply technique to, you know, work that you're doing, acting. And then in the junior, it's more scene study, duet. And then in the final year, it's audition preparation. So that's pretty much the sequence that I teach.
And you mentioned too, you said when I became head of the department. So how long were you at Flint Park before you moved into the head?
I have actually been here, which I can't believe, 15 years. Yeah, it went very fast. And I don't remember the exact year that I took over as head of the program, but I want to say it was maybe 7 years ago. Yeah.
Well, so. I think it was around 15 years ago that I sent my first student to Point Park. So that's interesting. That
amazing.
When were the Millgraths there? No,
conversation now. Everyone, I know, except that I love those ladies. Yeah. And they actually visited a couple of years ago. They're both amazing. But they were here early on in my time here. Yeah.
They were in my voice studio and I helped. They were some of the first college audition students that I had. Well, seems like so long ago. But.
They're both fantastic. I mean, they're just so talented and lovely human beings. I didn't realize that. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Sorry, everyone listening. We're just having our own private conversation here about inside things. So this is the most difficult question that I ask everyone, but give us your elevator speech for the Point Park Musical Theater Program. What, if you could sum it up in a minute or less, in your own words, sort of describe the program.
I think we're truly a triple threat program. But what I think that means is not that our students are all triple threats, but it's how we approach the training. It's our philosophy that people train in different ways. And so you give equal emphasis in all areas so that by the time students graduate, they're ready to work and they're at the top of their game of where they're ready to be.
Wow. Very well done. Normally, the people I ask that question to panic a little bit. That was really well done.
Yeah, I would add one more thing, though, because I think it's important, because obviously our students are here to have a college experience, but to also, you know, be ready to work. And I think, you know, our students do get out and work. But I also think what we really stress that it's important is to have a taste for excellence, right? It's not just getting a job, it's having a career. And a long-term career, an appreciation for the work that you do, and I think that we do that pretty well as well.
So, talk us through some of the highlights of your program, some things that sort of make Point Park stand out among the pack of the other 350 programs in the country that offer musical theater programs.
Yeah, that to me is a difficult question because I'm not at other programs and there are many wonderful programs, but I know some of the things that we do well. And one of them is that approach to like sort of that triple threat approach. So there's obviously a great deal of progression in music theory, voice, singing, piano, sight singing, ensemble singing. They get a rep coach, a personal rep coach in the second semester of their junior year to really start putting their book together. We do double duty with the acting. So there's acting through song, but there's also acting through spoken text. So it's contemporary through Shakespeare. And then, of course, we're very, very fortunate that we have one of the top dance programs in the country, and all our students study dance with the dance faculty. So I think those are some things in the training that are really helpful. Some things that are exciting to me is about 3 years ago, we signed a contract with the University of West London, so our juniors can spend a semester training in London if they would like. And we sent over our first class, I guess it was last fall or a year ago this past fall. And then, of course, COVID has come into our lives, but we're ramping that back up. We have a beautiful new playhouse that I think is just a nice place to go to work and to perform. It's stunning and gorgeous. We're in a city. Pittsburgh is a lovely city. You know, I remember leaving New York thinking I'll never like anywhere else, you know, and I love it here. So it's a great place to go to school, but it's a great place just to live. There's a lot of universities and colleges, so there's a lot of young people. There's a thriving professional theater community here. There's a sports, there's green space, but there's also restaurants and, you know, things to do. And so I think the location is fantastic. I think we have a lot of opportunity for our students to perform. We have built in opportunity in the musical theater program to make sure they perform as an ensemble every year. We work with a lot of guest artists, particularly for our New York showcase. We have a team of three casting directors that we work with that are amazing. But throughout the year, we have people. And because we're in a city, a lot of the national tours go through here. And we almost always have someone from Point Park in there. So we usually can get them to come work with our students. Yeah, we have a cinema program. So our students can have a nice reel if they want to by the time they leave here by doing by auditioning for the student films. So I don't know. Those are some things that stick out. But I think the bottom line is we get great students. And they are very competitive. But the thing I like about them is that they're competitive with themselves and not with each other. It's a pretty supportive community of young actors. And yeah, so I don't know. Those are the things that I think are good.
Everything's good.
So I don't know if it makes us stick out, but I know those are things that we do well and things that I think are nice additions to, you know, the program.
So you mentioned the dance program, and, mm-hmm. and yes, Point Park does have a phenomenal dance program aside from the musical theater program. And I know that a lot of times, especially my students that are coming through, they always ask about how intense the dance training is, because that can really vary mm-hmm. from school to school and how much emphasis they put on dance. So being that Point Park is, you know, sharing a roof with one of the most competitive dance programs in the country, mm-hmm. how much, talk a little bit about the dance training
So there's sort of a dual training here, because some of the students that come in are really dancers, and those folks usually will audition for the dance minor, and that of course is competitive as well. You have to be an excellent dancer, and if you do that, then you start dancing with the dance majors, which is pretty exciting. But all MTs have required dance classes, and that starts your freshman year, 8 o'clock, 5 days a week, ballet. You'll always be dancing 4 to 5 days a week in your time here. So there's required dance for everyone, and then a lot of students add dance, and then some of the dancers will do the dance minor.
And you're mentioning minors, mm-hmm. and you mentioned the cinema program as well. Mm-hmm. Is there an ability to minor in film or acting for film, or what is that?
We have classes acting for, you know, on camera. There isn't really a minor in that, but there's a dance minor that is very popular. We have an applied music minor, which is heavily voice and piano based, which a number of our students do. And then the business minor is also been huge. So there are other minors that people have fit in, especially if you come in like with AP credits, or you can clep out of, you know, there are not a lot of core classes that you have to take or gen eds. But there's enough that if you can get rid of those, you can usually do some kind of minor. But the ones that fit into the program, because it's so structured. I mean, for example, our program is 132 contact hours, and about 100 of those are all based in your major. So it's, you know, it's a pretty tight schedule. And that's why I'm saying those three minors seem to fit in the best, but people have done other things.
When you said business minor, do you mean just a general business minor?
General business minor. I mean, obviously, we have classes in the senior year, which is, I guess this would be a good time to say sort of how our progression goes. So the first year is sort of diagnostic, getting everyone on the same page. And then year two and three, I sort of look at as like how to become great in the play. And then senior year, the fourth year, is how to become great in the room auditioning so that you have a chance to be hired and be great in the play. So senior year, part of that is business aspects, specifically for theater. but the business minor is actually in the school, you know, in the business program.
Great.
Yeah.
Talk to us about performance opportunities throughout, you know, starting as a freshman right through to senior, and then that can also segue into your showcase.
Great. So first semester freshman year, we don't have the freshmen perform. We really want to give them a semester to kind of get used to being here. They're required to work on a crew each semester of freshman year. But second semester, we start getting them in the pool. So they can start auditioning for the student-directed films, the student-directed one-acts, which is part of our season. There are two student-run theaters. One is called Bridges, which is part of our program. And then the other is called Pinnacle, which is also students from our program, but it's not part of the curriculum. And so they can audition for those. And then sophomore year, they're in the pool. And we do somewhere between 5 and 6 conservatory shows a year. But some other also, you can audition if you're a dancer for some of the dance things. As I said, many student, you know, directed and produced productions. And then we build in. So freshman year, we do a freshman showcase. And sophomore year, we do the family weekend with the sophomores, which is a weekend of performances. In the junior year, we have something called Junior Lab. And the entire junior MT class does an original full-length musical. And then senior year is the showcase. So there's just a lot, you know, and there's a lot of, our students are very ambitious. I mean, that we have an a cappella group that was started by students. So there's cabarets that pop up. So there's a lot of opportunity to perform. And then senior year is the senior showcase, which last year and this year were virtual, but normally we go to New York. And with that, in that's sort of the last time there, you know, as a group. And as I said, we work with this year we worked with two casting people from Telsey and one from Tara Rubin. And it's been, you know, it's a great opportunity for us too, even just faculty to work with them. And that's kind of their performance stuff.
Do you feel like moving forward, there's going to be some virtual component of the showcase?
It will be interesting to see. I know that the casting folks that we work with and just people that I know in the business really like the virtual.
That's what I'm hearing too.
Yeah. So
it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. Certainly our students this year we'll have more exposure in different cities because it is virtual. I don't know. You know, I think I don't know when the next time a group of people are going to be willing to be in a small room, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but we've gotten a lot of positive feedback. So I don't
know. There's a couple schools already that I've done these interviews with, and if people have been listening through, there's a couple that said they're switching to solely virtual because they reach more more agencies. Which...
Yeah, I don't know what we'll do. I mean, I think we really do try to rely on the industry folks that we work with, and so we'll see what the trend is and what they suggest is what we'll do. You know, but I guess there might be different ways to work it out if the showcase is virtual, but still get to, you know, I think it's important the students get to New York since, I mean, so many of our students end up there. That's really the hub that most of them end up in.
We'll see. Maybe we're going to be doing live stream senior showcases from here on out. Maybe from a theater in New York, but let's see.
I know. I think there's some really interesting things that have come out of this time. I mean, we were able to have teachers this year that normally we wouldn't be able to have because they weren't working. You know, we had acting director for Lion King for the, you know, National Tours of Lion King taught a couple classes for us virtually, you know? Yeah. So, you know, we just, and I meant like through the whole year, like not just like a workshop. So I think there's some good things. certainly might be nice if faculty meetings remain virtual. but as far
I'm not
as
editing that, obviously,
but I think too. I mean, the students, you know, self tapes were already kind of a big thing before COVID hit. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see what comes out of this.
So just one quick step back, because I wanted to ask, you mentioned that you have a certain number of conservatory shows each year. Does that mean that the shows at Point Park are open only to the BFA students, or are they open school-wide?
Not school-wide.
Okay. Yeah. Just wanted to clarify that.
But so, I will say they're open, like musicals and plays. It doesn't matter your major, like within the theater program. Okay. And certainly for the musical, sometimes we have dance majors auditioning. But yeah, that's it.
Sure. Talk us through some notable alum or possibly faculty that
Sure. So, I mean, some of the names that I think people are very familiar with, like Rob Ashford, Tony Yazbek, John McGarro, E. Clayton Cornelius, Dennis Miller. Those are you know, some big names that come to mind. But when I look at all the Broadway shows, even just recently, that we have alums working in, there's tons of them. So, you know, when things were running, I mean, we had people in Hamilton and Miss Saigon and Kinky Boots and Paramore and Dolly and Prince of Broadway and Phantom. And, you know, we can just go down the list. And, you know, we're very lucky we've made some of those lists. With Playbill, it was like 3 or 4 years in a row. Obviously, they didn't do anything this year. But the past 3 or 4 years, we made, you know, in the top 10 of most represented schools on Broadway. So we have we have some famous alum, but we also have a lot of working alum.
Great.
Yeah.
So let's transition now and start talking a little bit about the audition process.
Sure.
As I always say, I think that's the reason why most students are listening to this podcast, because they think hearing it right from you, they're going to get some tips and tricks sure. for the audition process. So first, let's chat about numbers. How many applicants did you receive this past year?
I pre-screened somewhere around 1,400.
That's a big number.
It's a big number.
And is that a significant increase from last year, or?
No, it's about the same as the year before. And then we've only done pre-screens for 2 years. So it's hard to really, we don't have like a long record. I didn't know what was going to happen this year because of our, you know, the situation in the country, but yeah, I think we went up, but around the same, I mean, you know, within a couple hundred, yeah.
And then from those pre-screens, how many do you invite for live auditions?
This year, I think we invited, it was under 500.
Okay. And then you aim for a class of how many?
26.
26?
Mm-hmm.
Great. So do you think, here's another question, look into your crystal ball. Do you think you're going to keep some sort of virtual option alive moving forward for the audition process?
It's funny because I was just thinking about that the last couple of days. I think where we might is certainly for international students. And then, you know, it might be helpful for some students, you know, affordability to travel is, you know, is a variable for people. So it would be nice to have maybe some aspect of it. But there's not quite anything like being in the room with folks.
Right.
So I'm not really sure what we'll do.
It's going to be interesting to see, because I think I'd say about half of the schools that I've spoken to already have said, yes, absolutely. It was so great for inclusion and they were able to see a much more diverse set of students because of the virtual. But everyone is also saying what you just said. There's nothing like that one-on-one interaction. I think that a lot of my students this year sort of missed out on that one-on-one. You know, the singing and dancing and acting get you through the door, but it's really your personality and connection mm-hmm. that gets you accepted. And some of that I just think didn't translate through a computer screen, unfortunately. So yeah. I keep making a joke about let's see what happens when all of these schools actually meet the class that they just brought in.
Yes, but that's exactly right, because here I think we're having this most amazing class ever. And yet, you know, we're not really sure what's going to walk through the door. I mean, I think just like with everything, though, you know, how some people thrive in an audition space and some people thrive more in performance. And I think some people were fantastic over Zoom. You know, I think they just kind of jumped right out there. You felt like you were in the room with them. And then for some people, I think it was probably hard just singing in their bedroom or whatever. So, I mean, I would like to see, you know, for me, we'll do whatever will bring us the ability to see the most students that are interested in our program. So we'll see what happens.
And where do you hold your live auditions other than on campus?
We do the Unified. So LA, Chicago, New York City. I usually go to Texas. And I think that's about it, you know? Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. I mean, I think what's lovely too is, you know, I mean, just is, you know, I've worked with you for a couple of summers. And that's, you know, that's a great way to meet students too and get a feel for where they are and where their interests lie. And, you know.
We're going to try to revive our Florida audition this year. We took a break last year because of COVID and didn't really see a point in us doing that. So we're going to try to revive them. So I'll be sure that an invitation comes your way so you can get down here in January.
Fantastic.
Great. As well. So when you're looking at those pre-screens or seeing a person live in the room, what are you looking for? What are those qualities that make a student right for a point part?
Oh, that is, you know, that's such a hard question, really. I mean, obviously talent is going to be the first thing, right? We want to make sure they can sing and act or that we see potential, you know. But I think years ago when I started recruiting, I was like, how do you choose, you know? And someone said to me, imagine being in class with them for 4 years. And so that's kind of what I do. I am just like, how will it be working together? So obviously we want people that are really interested in training and who are excited about what they're doing. You know, I say to my students, you know, you are the vessel through which all your characters will come through. So obviously the more communicative and relaxed a young person can be in the room, the more it feels they'll be open to the training. I don't know. I just think sometimes it's not anything specific. It's just, you're like, yeah, this person would be great to work with. So I think that's not always so helpful for a young person to hear. Nor is it very helpful when we say just be yourself, because I think that's hard for all of us to walk into a room because that's a lot of pressure. But I think that's why I would say, like, you know, pick your material that you love, because then you will come through the material. And as much as possible, we just try to make people feel comfortable in the space, and so they'll do their best work. And it's you know, I think it's hard to understand as a young person that it's the numbers are, you know, it's huge. And obviously, we want a diverse group of 26 students. We want all of them to be different than each other. So sometimes that might factor in, or, you know, it doesn't mean that we don't think we can still think you're very talented, and it just might not be the right fit at this time. And I think that's kind of a hard thing to hear for a lot of folks.
And since you're relatively new at the pre-screen game, only 2 years in, let's chat about pre-screens a little bit, and you know, what are some things that are some tips that you can give students as to getting their pre-screen recognized, or maybe some words of caution based on some pre-screen fails that you've seen?
I think it's really important with a pre-screen, because we can go back and watch it more than once, to make sure you are pitch perfect. I think that's huge for us. Know your music, have the rhythms be correct. And again, pick things that show you off, that not just your voice, because obviously, and your acting skills, but be storytelling and be having fun. So I think that would be helpful. The wild card, I have gone back and forth on how I feel about that, but I think it can be helpful to get to know somebody a little bit. And sometimes, I think maybe some people want to be bold. And so they do things that are like, whoa, you know, I'm not sure if this is you trying to be creative and bold, or if this is something that would make me nervous to have you in the room. So I think,
wow.
Yeah. So we get some kind of, just remember, we don't know you. So if you put something right out there, you know, make sure it's the best part of you.
Interesting. Boy, I hope none of those are my students.
You know, so I would say it's very rare. Okay. Do you know what I mean? I think it's very rare. But they're mostly, I think the wild cards are just like really interesting. I love, like, you know, oh, you play instruments, or people did some really creative things this year, especially because of maybe some things we're doing because of COVID. I mean, but every once in a while there's something where I'm just like, maybe this wasn't a good choice.
I usually tell students that in the wild card, it should be something that's not singing, dancing, acting, because they're going to see that in other parts of your audition. I say, you know, show them something else about you, and make sure that part of your wild card video is just you talking to the camera in your own voice, unscripted, so that they can get a better feel for you. What do you think about that?
I think it's great. I mean, I think what we do see a lot of is tap, because it's not part of the, you know. So I don't mind. I think that's good information to know. I love it. Or sometimes they do sing, but like something stylistically so different, or they sing playing an instrument. So I think those all work, but it is really nice, even if you're going to do that, to just do some kind of, like you said, talking, you know, just so we get a feel for who you are and what you like to do.
Yeah. So, to wrap up today, talk about some interesting, exciting things that are coming up here. At Point Park,
sure.
As we return to the fall, back to some sense of normalcy.
Yeah, good. And I just want to, like, anyone listening to this, I don't want them to know, freak out about like the wild card. you know, most of them are just fine. They're just lovely. So up and coming things, you know, some things are sort of a little bit on hold as we are coming out of this year. The season is sort of announced. We just got a new artistic director, so I think that some things will be happening more over the summer. But I guess what the biggest exciting news is that we're planning to be on campus in the fall. And you know, the freshmen this year, I have not met in person. I've only met them over Zoom.
That is so crazy.
Isn't that crazy? So I guess to me, that's like the biggest thing, is that we're going to get back to work. I mean, I think we made it work this year. We had, you know, 100% retention. All our students came back this past fall. But it will be wonderful to be in the classroom doing what we do well. So right now, that's like the most exciting news possible.
Of course. So Ziva, tell us if students or parents want to learn anything more about the program, where can they go and who can they reach out to?
Well, they can certainly always reach out to me at zbarzell@pointpark.edu. We have a COPA recruitment office that is phenomenal, and so they can reach out there. We've been doing tours during this time, so people can come visit Pittsburgh, which I think is just lovely to check out, because it's a nice place to go. And of course, our website.
Wonderful. Well, Ziva, it's always a pleasure to sit down and chat with you, and I look forward to seeing you this summer in Miami Beach.
Yes, I'm very excited. Thank you.
Of course, we'll always have you back for workshops and talks with our kids. Whenever we have the opportunity. So thank you so much for joining me today.
I appreciate it. And I, you know, anyone who's listening to this, you know, just enjoy the journey. There's nothing like auditioning for colleges, you know, and you only get to do it once. And so you may as well have a good time.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much again.
Thanks, Tim. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
So long.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and masterclasses offered by The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok.